Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast, back for the 2016 season. Will Brinson here, Pete Prisco. We are chatting it up about some teams. The preseason's over, Pete. Regular season around the corner. We're recording this the Friday before Labor Day, which means that we have less than 1 week until NFL football. How excited are
you? Darn, I'm going to really miss that preseason. I mean, my it's so entertaining. You know, preseason gets worse every year, Will, and that's not just being the old guy, the crusty old guy either. It gets worse, and it needs to be shortened. I mean, before we move on to the regular season, I want to blast the preseason. I think it's a situation where you need to play two games, have a scrimmage between two teams, and that's it. Move forward, because these guys, I just think it's way too much for them right now.
Yeah, and to me, the week four preseason is just meaningless. Especially
not if you're New England. He played his starters.
That's right. But I mean, what did you think about Brady? Brady played the first half. To me, it makes sense because it's the only reps he's going to get between now and week five. I mean, it's risky to if somebody gets hurt, but I don't really have a problem with him with Belichick.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about playing your guys in the fourth preseason game, and the reality is why not? I mean, are you that scared to get a guy hurt? These guys need reps. They don't play. So if you had two full preseason games and let them play in the first half and then let the backups play in the second half, then I think you get more work than you would now. There's no, you know, flow to it. I mean, a young pass rusher trying to emerge as a pass rusher isn't going to be able to emerge as a pass rusher if he's only getting 10 to 12 snaps and then getting off the field. So New England, you know, to me, okay, I look at it and I go, well, here's Bill Belichick being smarter than everybody else again, or at least he thinks he is, by playing his starters in the fourth preseason game. And he's done that in the past, but the reality is these guys need to get snaps. I just don't think they get enough work anymore in the preseason.
Should they have given Jimmy Garoppolo snaps in that week four preseason? I mean, like, they're about to trot this guy out for four games, and he has a minimal number of snaps in his career.
Yeah, but I think he showed the first three games that he can play. I don't think he's going to, you know, obviously he's not going to be Tom Brady, but he showed me in the preseason, Will, that he can, you know, and I broke him down on tape. I think he's a smart kid. You know, early on last year, I went back.
Didn't you call him the hopper? Didn't you used to call him the hopper?
Yeah, but he doesn't hop as much anymore.
Got those quiet feet
now. And one other thing he doesn't do anymore, Will, he used to, you know, take the snap and look to his right or his left and stay there. Now he's getting off of it. And to me, that's really impressive for a young quarterback. And one thing about him and Dak Prescott, because I broke him down too, one thing about both those guys is they're not afraid of the pass rush. You know, young quarterbacks, the curse of the young quarterback is the pass rush. Their eye level comes down. They start looking at the rush, and then they go one read and get out of there. These guys in the preseason, and I know it's the preseason, but it's still bodies around you, flying around you. They both stood in there, climbed the pocket, hung around, and made plays. And that's a big, big thing for a young quarterback.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's why those preseason reps are huge too, because you actually get to see those guys with the bullets, you know, with the bullets flying without the gun actually being loaded, in that terrible analogy. Let's look at some teams. We're going to spend this time looking at some teams that we think are up and some teams that we think are down and allow that to meander throughout the course of the NFL. The first team you like, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And last week in the third preseason game, which everybody says is telling, and the reality is it isn't very telling because they do a lot of things that they would never do in the regular season, like rush three guys and that kind of, I mean, but the Bengals smacked them around a little bit. And I thought that was telling. The Bengals are a darn good football team. In fact, I still think they had a chance to win the Super Bowl if Andy Dalton doesn't go down. Remember, week 16, they went to Denver and led them at the half with AJ McCarron and lost in overtime. If they win that game, I mean, who knows what happened. So, I think the Bengals are really
good. If they win that game, maybe Denver doesn't make the playoffs.
Right. And that just shows you the margin for error if you got to get hot at the right time. So the Bengals are really good. And I spent time with them in camp. They're physical. They're tough. They're nasty. They've gotten their, you know, emotions in check, I think, by changing some of the guys on the coaching staff and bringing in a guy like Jim Haslett, who's not going to take the crap from Vontaze Burfict at linebacker. But they came to Jacksonville, and I went to the game, and they pushed them around and beat them up, and Jacksonville looked terrible. Terrible. And I think that was a case of a young team starting to think, you know what? We're pretty darn good. Look at what we do. And so I think they needed that. But you look up and down that roster, you know, people want to point to Jokel. You go back and watch the tape. He got bull rushed by Geno Atkins. He got tripped by the center, and everybody made a big deal out of it. They're going to be better on the offensive line. They got tons of skilled people. They got two runners who can run. They got receivers all over the place. Allen Robinson, you know, he's improved from a year ago. He's a better player. He might be a top five receiver in this league this year. And then you go to the defense. They're still going through growing pains on that side of the ball, but you had Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler, who didn't have a sack in the preseason, didn't look great after looking great in the summer. I think their defense is going to be better. Malik Jackson. they're a team. They're going to win the division. I mean,
you think so?
I'm calling it. I think they win. And you know what? Here's an early lean on opening day. They're beating Green Bay.
I actually like that second one. The first one worries me a little bit because it's like, I'm all about, you know, picking a sexy sleeper or whatever, but the hype train on Jacksonville has been going ever since, I guess they signed Malik Jackson and then the draft was great. They're getting Fowler, Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey, basically three first round picks on defense are coming in. But I mean, I just worry that everybody's a little early on Jacksonville. Any chance that this isn't quite the year or they're not quite ready?
No, because, and you know why, Will, why I say that? Because it's not so much that they're going to be great, because I think they're going to win a division and get dumped in the first round.
Nine and seven.
And I think that the team that's, you know, Houston's going to be 8-8, and I think the Colts are going to be 8-8. Everybody goes, well, look how great Houston is. Really? They have offensive line issues. They lost their starting center. Dwayne Brown hasn't played all preseason. He's coming off a quadriceps injury, which is tough. The right tackle hasn't played much in the preseason. Derek Newton, he came back to practice last week. Their guards aren't great. You go to the other side of the ball, and you know, defensively, J.J. Watt, who knows what he's going to be with coming off the back injury. They lost Crick, so they got to try and piecemeal. Vince Wilfork's 142 years old and weighs 370, and he didn't play
that
well.
Say that to his face, Pete.
He didn't weigh that well. He didn't play that well last year, I didn't think. And you know, there are good players. Like, I think there's emerging players, McKinnon, the linebacker, and they, you know, Andre Howell's a nice young free safety, and they got the good corners. But I think they have more issues than people think. And then you go to the Colts. The Colts' issues aren't going to be Andrew Luck. I know, like, people like to hype that up and everything. Well, oh, Andrew Luck didn't play as well. He's got problems. And they lost Mewhart for a couple games in the offensive line, but I think it'll be better with Kelly in there. But you go to the other side of the ball. Who the heck is going to rush the passer?
You know, the Colts defense might be worse than it was the last 2 years, right?
I mean, they got a ton of injuries at corner.
Yeah.
And then you look at Robert Mathis is he hasn't played all preseason. They're counting on a 35-year-old guy who's 2 years removed from Achilles tendon surgery to be your big time pass rusher. And the other side, Trent Cole's 33, and that group on the other side, there's no young guys. They had one sack, I think, in the preseason. They have to be able to rush the passer. This is a passers and pass rusher league. We'll give you Andrew Luck. The hype on him being, you know, going backward last year was way overblown. He was hurt. He didn't play very well. I'll get it, but
he got paid, Pete. He got paid. He might take the summer off. He's going to relax. That's the dumbest narrative, by the way.
Yeah, right. And then, but it's the problem with the Colts is going to be the defense. They're going to be bad on defense.
And Luck got banged up too in the, like, I mean, he's been taking some shots in the preseason. I know, again, it's preseason, but if the one thing you don't want to see from your offensive line is letting your superstar quarterback that you just paid and just missed half a season with injury get knocked around in the preseason because he's taking too many sacks. I mean, that's a huge red flag for me.
Yeah, and I thought their line with Kelly being, you know, he missed the first game, but he's back and playing center. He's going to be a darn good player. And then they had Mewhart at left guard and Costanzo at left tackle. That's a good side. The right side, Denzel Good's a young player at right guard. And Joe Reitz is he's serviceable at best at right tackle. That's going to be a season-long problem. So, but more concerning if I were a Colts fan would be the defense. I just, the makeup of it isn't, there's not talent there. It's just not a talented group right now, and that's going to be a problem.
Any chance this is a job-killing season for either Chuck Pagano or Ryan Grigson?
No, not after those extensions.
You think they're fine no matter what happens? Even like a five-win season?
Now they both got new contracts, so they're lovey-dovey, you know.
Yeah, right? No, now they're friendly for as long as they're not losing games, which they might
be. There's one thing that'll make guys work together: looking at their bank book.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason we're doing this podcast, Pete.
I'll be honest with you. I was there last year in the middle of that in training camp, and actually was standing there talking to Grigson.
Yeah.
And Pagano came over to shake my hand and say hello, and Grigson walked away. I mean, it was very, very, you know, kindly. He was saying, oh, I'll let you guys talk, but it was one of those, you know, usually two guys will stand around and talk. It was cool last year, and there were a lot of
GM and a coach aren't, like, talking, that's a major red flag, too. Like, that's...
And not only talking, you know, pointing out mistakes by him on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were a lot of things going on inside the building. Now, they are getting along together, and I like both guys. I'll be honest with you. I really like Grigson and I like Chuck, so it's good that they're working together, but they had issues last year.
Well, but see, they still have the same issues on the field, which means that they got to – I mean, I think this leads me to another team that I think is up, the Tennessee Titans. I think this division as a whole is – I don't know that it's – not the worst division still? I'm trying to think what division would be worse than the AFC South.
The South might be worse. I mean, the NFC South has Carolina, but then the rest of the division is like, okay.
But the Panthers would drum all four of the teams in that division, in the AFC South. I think the Buccaneers are better. Maybe the NFC South is worse. I mean, I
worry about the Bucs defense a little bit. I mean, and they're little. I mean, they're really small, and they're playing a defense that, you know, Mike Smith wants bigger guys, and that's a problem over there.
Well, you're transitioning from that cover two, and you've been building this roster up to play that Lovie Smith cover two.
Right.
And now
means you're a small defense.
Yeah,
that's a problem. But I think Winston's going to be phenomenal. I don't think he's going to hit your 38 interceptions?
I said 30 interceptions last year. He was on pace for it early on, and the problem with Buccaneers fans and these freaking lunatics on Twitter, FSU Twitter, is that they took that to mean that I think Jameis stinks. I don't think Jameis stinks. In fact, I listed him in our preseason projections, which are coming out next week on CBSSports.com, and we'll break these down on the podcast next week. But I listed him as my breakout player because I think he qualifies if he becomes the top 10 quarterback, which I think is possible this year.
I think he's been phenomenal. And I actually went down there in May and talked with him and Mike Evans about what they did and how they got better, and Mike Evans trimmed down and he trimmed down, and I mean, they looked 10 times. I thought he was fantastic against Cleveland when he played the third preseason game. Now Cleveland's terrible in defense, but I'm a big Jameis Winston guy. I think he gets it. I think he understands what it takes to be a big time quarterback. He reads defenses very well. He's very cerebral. He's competitive. He told me about the play last year when he was against Atlanta, when they were, you know, game on the line, and he came into the huddle and looked around, and he goes, "Who the heck wants a touchdown?"
That's awesome.
I don't know if he said it in those words. There was probably some other words used in there. And Mike Evans said, "I'll take it." And he subsequently rolled out and hit him on the crossing around the corner in the back of the end zone for a touchdown.
And the thing about Evans, too, and people forget that, he has the combination of size and speed to be a top 10 receiver in this league. And I think that people also forget he spent his college career – look, Johnny Manziel is a good quarterback, but he spent his college career playing with a guy who is not a non-traditional quarterback who ran – you know, I mean, Jameis is much more likely to hit Mike Evans in the hands on a nine route than Johnny Manziel ever was, you know?
No, Jameis Winston knows how to get the ball out on time. He knows how to get it out on rhythm. One thing that I think it'll be interesting, and I'll highlight this, is because they told me this, is – they didn't have a great feel on back shoulder fade go route last year. So in other words, if he's by him, throw it out. If he's not by him, throw the back shoulder.
Right.
It's something they worked on a lot this offseason.
But if they're linking up on those two passes, it's going to be really hard to stop Mike Evans.
Right. In the middle of the field, they said they had no problem with, but that was one of the ones that they said they had to work on the timing. And, you know, if I'm by him, throw it out. If I'm not, throw the back shoulder. And they're going to be significantly better throwing that. So, yeah, I think Tampa will be fine on offense. I just worry about their defense, which is why I don't think they're going to be one of the rising teams. I don't.
I think they'll have a better pass rush than people expect. And then you got Levante David and Gerald McCoy there as two really nice pieces. Vernon Hargraves too. Nice little pickup. But yeah, like, I mean, rookie cornerback, not gonna be an easy transition. But back to the AFC South, because the other team I think is up is the Titans. And in general, I just think that, that whole division is tougher than it was a year ago. I don't think the Titans are some 10 win team or anything. I think Vegas has them at 5.5 wins maybe. I would take the over, but it's primarily based on the fact that Marcus Mariota to me is 1B to Jameis Winston's 1A in terms of how they look as young quarterbacks. And then Derrick Henry looks freaking awesome. And I know that you don't like this style of football, but I think they can exotic smash mouth their way to 6 or 7 wins.
Well, since playing out the season is coming out next week.
Okay. A little teaser. That's what we in the biz call a teaser.
Yeah, tease.
Yeah.
Game by game. You said the over-under on the Titans.
5.5.
5.5. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I had them at the under.
Ouch. I mean, I think the problem is, it just depends on how you think they'll perform in the division. They could steal some games from the Colts, Jaguars, and Texans.
They're going to be feisty every week. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And their style of play bothers me. You're right. Their style of play bothers me. And I know, look, I watched them against Oakland. They pushed Oakland around. And Oakland looked like they didn't want to be there that day. I mean, it was in the preseason. It looked like a young team, just like Jacksonville in week 3, looking around and decided, you know what, we think we're good. And they got pushed around. And they really are, you're right, the Titans are physical. And they're going to run the ball. But Mike Mularkey's playing in the 1980s and 70s. That doesn't work anymore. It should be featuring Mariota. It shouldn't be featuring the running game. And so that's a concern to me.
But the issue for the Titans, I think, is that, and look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I wouldn't have traded for DeMarco Murray. I like the Derrick Henry pick. In fact, I have right here, in front of me a piece of paper from our draft show when I held it up. It said Derrick Henry is a better quarterback than Hackenberg. Cause remember, I believe we got an argument about the Hackenberg Henry pick. I would argue right now that the Henry pick looks a little bit better. And,
it's the preseason and running backs are doing the same thing they've been doing since they were eight.
Hackenberg's doing the same thing he's been doing since last year, throwing the ball on the ground.
How come everybody kills Hackenberg when he played like crap the last preseason game, but nobody said boo about it when he looked good in the third preseason?
You said something. I think it got you some snarky remarks from the Twitter GMs, didn't it?
And I fired right back at him. I still think, you know, he's a project, but he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league. I believe that. And Henry, to me, is so upright. And so,
yeah,
such a guy that needs space. And in the preseason, you're going to get space. There's not going to be, you know, guys at your legs when you're taking handoffs and being forced to bounce and everything. When he's upright and he can go straight ahead, he's darn good. I want to see him when it's time to wiggle, when it's time to make those kind of moves. That's the question with him. But
no, he doesn't have sneakiness. There's no subtleness to his running. He's a bull in a china shop. And you're right. I mean, like if defenses are limiting the amount of room he has to run through the line, then, you know, he's gonna get bottled up a little bit. But
you are the classic case of the preseason overreactor.
I'm trying my best. I'm just trying not to watch any of it, Pete. That's what I'm trying to do. I liked Henry before the season, and he's looked great in the preseason.
He has had a good pre. I'll give you that. And their offensive lines look really good in the preseason.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that they can block. I think they can keep Mariota from taking too many shots. And the other issue is they don't have jack for weapons there. I mean, Tajay Sharpe has looked really nice, but I mean, they've done Delanie Walker is probably he might be the most underrated player in football, but I mean, their receivers in general are garbage.
Correct. But when you're built to play the way they play, you don't really need great receivers.
No, I know, but I'm saying that you almost have to, like, you almost have to predicate drop into the run.
They built it that way.
Well, they didn't purposely draft crappy receivers. Like,
drafted Kendall Wright in the first round.
No, but I mean, I'm saying you're right. No, I understand they drafted crappy receivers. I'm saying they didn't purposely go out and attempt to draft.
No, but if you're going to build.
Hey, that guy's going to suck. Let's draft Odell Beckham Green.
If you're building your team, they want to be a physical, run the ball, play good defense team. And you know, I'll say this about that. You know, I'm a big pass guy.
Yeah.
Defenses are getting smaller, so somebody's going to be ahead of the curve and pounding on those smaller
teams. Well, the Seahawks and the Cowboys had success doing it. The Panthers Vikings. And the Broncos both did it last year.
The Vikings.
Vikings, yeah. Oh, the Vikings are going to have to do it with their quarterback situation.
Well, but there's a common thread with a lot of those teams. Great defenses. And I don't know if the Titans have a great defense. If you're Seattle and you have a great defense, Minnesota has a damn good defense. Carolina has a really good defense. You know, Dallas doesn't, not so much, but if you're those teams with the really great defenses, you can play that style of football because you'll be in those games. If you don't have a great defense, you can't play it.
No, if you have a bad defense and you're trying to be a smash mouth football team, you're just going to be a bad team. Because you can't pass the score.
I think the Titans will be feisty week in and week out. They're going to be tough.
I just don't think they're
going to win a lot of games.
Like we said about the Broncos nearly missing the playoffs and then ultimately winning the Super Bowl. I mean,
you got the Titans in the Super Bowl now.
I do. Mike Mularkey hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. No, I just mean that for the Titans, there's a very fine line between two wins and six wins. You know, like they're going to be four games that come down to last minute possessions and stupid choices by Mike Mularkey maybe and like a fumble by DeMarco Murray. Yeah, I mean, it's just these games. There's a fine line between where you fall. Like, you know, for a 10-win team, they're just as close to an 8-win team, and they just got lucky. You know, I mean, that's just how football works.
Yeah, but if you have the great quarterback, he cures all your ills.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Do the New York Football Giants have a great quarterback? They're another team that you like on the rise. The thing that bothers me about the Giants, Pete, is that they went out and did a Washington this offseason. Like Jerry Reese is out making it rain on these defensive players, spin big on Olivier Vernon, who doesn't have a ton of career numbers. You spin big on Janoris Jenkins. He loves to give up a big play. I feel like if the Redskins had done what the Giants did, we'd be mocking them for winning the offseason.
But his job's on the line.
Sure. No, I get why he did it.
And they blame Tom Coughlin for everything, so this just makes it even worse.
Yeah.
You know, hey, look, we can go spend money now, Tom. See ya.
Old cheap Tom in here. You know, he just held us back from spending money, which is not the case.
And then I think, you know, you talk about Olivier Vernon's sack numbers, but the pressures are outstanding. His pressure numbers are good. So that's a good signing. JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be back playing at a higher level. And I thought he came on late last year with the thing on his hand.
Yeah.
You know, Damon Harrison's a good football player. I mean, they're going to be better up front. And, you know, you add the secondary, you add Jenkins at corner. Their defense will be better. My concern right now with the Giants, the biggest concern with the Giants is the offensive line. Can Flowers hold up at left tackle? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Richburg's really good at center. I thought Pugh played better at guard. The right tackle position's not great. But, you know, that's the whole key is can those guys hold up? And I think in that division, I mean, I thought Dallas was winning the division. In fact, when I played out the season, I had Dallas winning the division. I went back and amended and have the Giants.
Post Tony Romo injury.
Yeah, and I have and I like Dak Prescott, but you know, it's a whole different animal when you start playing these games for real. But when you look at, you know, the Giants, I think their offense will be dynamic. Getting, you know, I love Shepard. I think Shepard's going to be a hell of a player.
Yeah.
I think getting Cruz back doing whatever he does will help, you know.
Any, if you get 20% of Victor Cruz, that's gravy because you're not expecting it.
And they're going to be good on offense. And so everybody's on the Redskins. I'm just not on the Redskins. I'm just not. I just, you know, I want to see.
Is everybody on the Redskins? I thought everybody was on the freaking Giants.
Yeah, I think most people are on the Redskins. And
just defaulting back to the team that won. Kirk Cousins is such a, he's just going to.
How do you know what he is?
He's going to regret. Yeah. If they won't give him 16 million, or what do they offer him? 16 million, he wants 20. If they won't give him $18 million a year, that is a giant red flag to me. And 69% completion percentage, very nice. But he didn't beat, I mean, I don't want to get into quarterback wins, but like he didn't play well against anybody that was great.
No, they want to see him do it again. That's the whole thing.
I think that's a good move by them.
I would want to see him do it again too.
There's no excuse either because he's got the weapons.
It's all there for him. He's got all the weapons, yep. Right? I mean, he doesn't have a running back though, does he? I mean, that's a concern.
That Matt Jones is just looked like a guy who's falling into a doghouse. Chris Thompson is kind of interesting. Kendall Marshall on IR or Keith Marshall, excuse me. That running game's a problem. Why didn't they re-sign Alf? That makes no sense.
And he's looked really good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys have three running backs that would immediately start for the Redskins.
Well, I mean, Matt Jones would have been.
And the Giants and the Eagles.
Matt Jones would be the starter, but he gets dinged up all the time. I mean,
but getting hurt and fumbling a lot is a problem if you're running back.
I mean, Rob Kelly has looked good for them. You know, he's a guy that's looked good for him as a runner, but.
I can see that offense crater.
But you look at that offensive line. I like the line. You know, Trent Williams is good. The center is okay. Scherf is going to be better. Moses played good at right tackle. So they'll be good on the line. They got weapons just on Kirk Cousins in the running game. Can he get any running game going to take some of the pressure off him? And we don't know what his psyche is. We saw him go bad before and it wasn't good. Then last year everything was good and he seemed like he was, you know, you like that? You like that?
See,
well, let's see if it goes bad because the quarterbacks are going to have bad games. It's going to go bad at some point.
If we had a producer, then they could do drops and they'd be like, you like that? Or if I was prepared, you know, for this podcast, I could have had a "you like that" drop. I'm going to give a "you like that" drop for the next one, and then we'll have a "you like that" moment for everybody.
Defensively, they got it'll be interesting. I think getting Norman will help them with, you know, pairing him with Breland. The safeties are okay. You know, D'Angelo Hall probably be pretty good at free safety. Preston Smith, I think, is a guy.
Hey, so, how are they going to do? So, what do you think? So, the first 3 weeks they get Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham. Are they going to have Josh Norman shadowing those guys?
Probably not. I don't think so. That's not. I mean, Breland's pretty darn good too.
Breland's underrated. Yeah.
So I think they'll be, you know, they'll be okay on the corners. I think. It goes back to Kirk. Okay, would I rather have Eli Manning or Kirk Cousins?
Well, Eli Manning.
Of course you would.
Yes.
And that's why I picked the Giants. It always comes down to the quarterback.
Yeah. No, you got me kind of nervous. I think I picked the Redskins. I had the Cowboys too and then the Romo thing, you know, just scared me off.
Rushers in Dallas aren't going to be there for the first
There's game. No defense there. And yeah. I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a special season, even without Tony Romo there. I think he rushes for 1,500 yards. But the Dak Prescott thing, it's just Dak is not going to be as good as he is at the preseason. I don't think
the offensive line in Dallas will help cover up a lot of the issues.
But I don't think people understand that Dak Prescott is going to regress when the actual season starts.
He's going to see things that he's never seen before. Yeah. Of course he's going to regress.
Rocky road, man. Rocky road.
But that offensive line, because Lyle Collins is even 10 times better than he was.
Yeah, Lyle Collins. Yeah. So is he a breakout guy for you?
I mean, you got Tyron Smith, who arguably the best left tackle in the game. You got Travis Frederick, who's arguably the best center in the game. I don't think he is, but he's arguably the best center in the game. And then you got right guard. You got Zach Martin, who's one of the best guards in the league. And now you got Lyle Collins, who's will be one of the best guards in the league. And you got the right tackle, Doug Freeze, played really well in the last couple of years. They're good up front, really good. There's no line in the league as good as the Cowboys.
Second best is maybe the Raiders.
They're pretty good too.
Yeah, but no, I think the Cowboys easily the best. Dak Prescott did mention that he's not worried about only seeing vanilla defenses because he can handle some rocky road. Which reminds me, because I'm starving, that we got to tell our listeners about our sponsor for this podcast, Pete. It's a better way to cook, a better way to eat. Blue Apron. I'm actually a Blue Apron user. On Wednesday night, we get our Blue Apron in on Wednesday. My wife AK and I do. And have you used Blue Apron before, by the way?
No, but I've thought about it.
It's freaking, so AKA, this is, I'm going to maybe veer off the read a little bit, but you can go to blueapron.com/RTP as in roughing the passer, and you get 3 meals for free on us, CBS Sports Blue Apron handing you meals. So when we started doing it, AKA was a terrible cook. Like she could only make spaghetti, and the Blue Apron stuff through that, she has become this like savant who's like making creme fraiche like on the side for different meals that we do. She tries out different stuff and she's like salmon now. It's pretty tremendous. So some of the meals that they have this month, paprika spiced shrimp and cheddar grits with tomato and sweet corn. They got an awesome summer udon noodle salad. It's got cherry tomatoes, corn, summer sweet pepper. Get those nice vegetables, those fresh veggies before the season's up. And then a chicken stir fry with baby bok choy and sesame ginger cucumber salad. And like, I'll tell you, there's a salmon Caesar that they do too, Pete. And the fillet of salmon that showed up was the freshest salmon I've seen this summer. I mean, it's out, it shows up, it's refrigerated in a box. You unload it. It's all prepped. Everything's ready to go. Individual portions.
They have good turkey sandwiches if they do.
Yeah. No, actually. Oh my God. Their burgers are outstanding. It's crazy. I don't know what they do with the bun, but the buns are freaking great.
It sounds fantastic. I'm actually going to look into that.
You should check it out. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than being at like 5 o'clock on a, you're working, you're grinding, you go, what are we going to eat for dinner?
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the interesting thing I think about Blue Apron. This is what I always tell my friends too, is that for us, so I think, it's like $49.99 or something like that, or maybe close to $60 for a 3-meal plan. Works out to like $10 a meal, which is not bad. But for us, it's cheaper to do Blue Apron because AK would go to the store every day and like spend a ton of money at the grocery store shopping for all these little ingredients to make these fancy meals.
And then you throw it away.
And then we ended up throwing it all away. We're just wasting money. We're wasting food. And now it shows up. It is packaged, ready to go. You can check out this week's menu at Blue Apron and get your first 3 meals free. Free shipping. blueapron.com/RTP. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We thank them for their delicious meals and their sponsorship. A couple more teams we're going to run through. Down teams. Who are you more down on, Dallas or Minnesota, Pete?
Well, now they made me hungry.
I know, right? I think I heard you Googling Blue. You're like, you're going to go and.
I'm going to look.
I'll send you a free meal.
You know, we're the modern generation. We don't sit around the dinner table anymore. You know, that's not the way it happens.
No, absolutely not. Sit in front of the TV.
You get somebody, you get the stuff, you throw it in there and make it. I like it.
Yeah.
You were talking about who am I down on more, the Vikings or the Cowboys?
I guess the question, a better way to put the question is, which quarterback injury, not obviously Teddy Bridgewater is a worse injury, but which injury is worse for the team? Who's more likely to survive?
Romo is worse for the team because he's a better player, I think, than Bridgewater, and they rely on him more. But his is a shorter injury, so it might not be as bad for the team. You know what I mean? If they were both out for the year, it would be far worse. It was Romo.
Romo's is far worse, right. But do you think the Vikings can survive in that division without Teddy Bridgewater?
And I'll be honest with you, playing out their schedule next week, I actually have them still making the postseason.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I do.
I think that'll put you in the minority by the time that all the predictions come in.
I have them based, have them making the postseason based on their beating Dallas during the regular season.
Wow.
So in Minnesota.
And that's, and so they both finish, I guess, 9-7?
9-7. Yeah.
So you have the Giants, did the Giants finish with 10 or 9?
10.
Okay. And then Cowboys and so I assume then your first wild card is one of Arizona or Seattle, right?
Both would be in the playoffs. Yeah, I have Arizona.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like, yeah. I think everybody, I mean, it would take something really catastrophic.
Seattle's the wild card team because based on, they both finished, I'm giving away my thing, but I'm basically.
No, we're teasing it. You're teasing a little bit.
13-3 for both Seattle and Arizona.
Wow.
And hey, this
by the, did you see my Madden play out, by the way? I think this is funny. So in the Madden thing I did, I just simulated a season. The Cardinals went 3-13 and Bruce Arians got fired. I don't think that if the Cardinals went 0-16, Bruce Arians still would keep his job.
And by the way, they're not that.
No, they're a great team.
What's wrong with your hand? You must have bad hands that day.
No, I wouldn't play it. I just let the computer do it.
Okay.
I wanted to pick the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl, but too many people are on them. I don't like to have the crowd mob mentality. Worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and by the way, I do have a team going 15-1.
Whoa! Carolina Panthers?
Nope.
The New England Patriots?
Nope, but close.
The Miami Dolphins?
Nope. Who's got the best quarterback in the league?
The Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Mm.
And how about that? I have them going, losing on opening day.
To the Jaguars is their only.
Will, the Heat will destroy them that day.
Interesting.
I mean, this has been the hottest summer in history in Jacksonville.
The whole East Coast, my lawn's brown. We got all these golf courses are lit up around here.
So I played out the season. I have them losing, ripping off 15 straight. And you know what? It sounds crazy. But I want you to go through this and you tell me they play the Vikings at Minnesota in the second week. Sure. I had them losing that game initially. Are they losing that game?
No.
Lions at home.
No, the Lions stink this year.
Tell me win or loss for the Packers.
Okay.
Giants at home.
Win.
Cowboys at home.
Win.
At Bears.
Win.
At Falcons.
That's a win.
Colts at home.
That's a win.
At Titans.
That's a win.
At Redskins.
Holy crap, that's a win.
At Eagles.
That's an easy win. Eagles are terrible.
Texans. Home.
I'll give it a win. I would probably say the loss of it away, but that's a win.
Seahawks at home.
That's the one. Yeah, it looks like a win, but certainly they could lose
this December
Seahawks.
11th against, come on, that's.
Is that when they play the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
At Bears.
That's a win. He destroys the Bears. That's a win. He destroys his division opponents. Aaron Rodgers does.
At Lions.
That's also a win.
15, you have the same as I do.
Good Lord, that's an easy schedule. So what's the over-under? I need to look at this over-under for these guys, because that might be the play. I think it's 10.5.
You know what I think this is this year, by the way?
What's that?
I think this is Aaron Rodgers sticking it to the entire world.
FU, yeah, it's an FU.
The dumbest, most misguided thing in football for the last 6 months has been this talk that Aaron Rodgers isn't Aaron Rodgers anymore.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's absurd. He's the best quarterback in football. He carries his team on his back. They were a whisker away from being in the championship game, remember, last year, mm-hmm. with a broken down team. And to me, it's all about Aaron Rodgers. I think in fact, in my predictions next week, he's sweeping he's getting the triple crown. The Packers are winning the Super Bowl. Rodgers is winning MVP for the league. Rodgers is winning Super Bowl MVP, and Rodgers is the offensive player of the year.
It's not bold. I mean, it is a little bit bold, but I mean, like, that's totally in the realm of possibility. He's gone 15-1 before, you know? he's done it before. He's won the MVP. So, I mean, it could totally happen. I think what's interesting about the Packers is that everyone, first of all, their division is set up really well for a great run. Because the Vikings are a good defense, but Rodgers has typically plays them well. You know, he dominates the Bears, and I think the Bears can make a little noise, but I don't know if they're a playoff team. And then I think the Lions are going to be a horrible team. Rodgers also is going to get Jordy Nelson back, and remember, he tore the ACL in the preseason, so he's got a full year of recovery. He should be completely healthy. The age is a bit of a concern. When Jordy's back, it changes things for Randall Cobb. Jared Cook is kind of a sleeper guy at tight end to be good there. Eddie Lacy is healthy. This offense could put up historical numbers. And it's primarily because Mike McCarthy's calling the freaking plays again.
Yeah, that was a mistake on his part.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right. You make mistakes.
I just think
make mistakes. What happens if Roger? If they need? I mean, this is stupid, and I sound like a Packer fan for saying this. They need a Super Bowl win because if Aaron Rodgers only won one Super Bowl in his career, that would be a pretty disappointing outcome, right?
Oh yeah, with a quarterback like that, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like that would be. You don't want to say it's a waste of his career because you win a Super Bowl, but to just win one with maybe the most talented quarterback of all time would be it's devastating.
Now they do have a major concern on the down defensive linemen, and in fact, here's another tease because Monday I'm doing good teams, you know, teams that are supposed to be good that still have issues coming out of the preseason. And one of theirs is their down defensive linemen. I mean. They, you know, not having Raji, believe it or not, that hurt them. He retired, that hurt them. And, you know, they thought Clark from UCLA, the rookie, would start, and he's been banged up a little bit. I think he's going to be a really good player, but he's missed time in the preseason. You know, they don't have, you know, Guion missed time in the preseason. They don't have a lot of depth there, and they're talking about playing Peppers maybe some inside on some down. So that, to me, is the only major concern about the Packers. They're going to cut good receiver. I mean, you know, we talk about Nelson coming back, but they got some young kids. You know, the Davis kids look good.
Mm-hmm.
They have some young kids that have really looked good in this preseason.
Do you think Devontae Adams is done?
No. They might peddle one of those guys to try and get some defensive line help, maybe. And, you know, the young corners, you know, Rollins and Randall are going to be fantastic players. I mean, they're Packer. Ted Thompson gets it. He builds through the draft. He knows how to draft good players. That team will roll this year. You like 15-1.
I like that. I mean, how can I not? Like, you read the games, it just sets up perfectly for them. I mean, I might go, you know, I might call somebody and hammer that over on the.
You're going to copy my paper again.
Like, I already got my picks in.
Vincent always copies my paper.
Yeah, and then I try and veer away from it and things go sideways on it. All right, so the Green Bay Packers have, the over-under is 11 wins. That's the highest in the NFL. Vegas is on to you, man.
Yeah, well, they're going to get that and blow by that.
God, that's a lot to take, though. 11? I mean, if Rodgers gets hurt, it's, you know, I mean.
Well, then if Rodgers gets hurt, everything goes out the window.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so really quickly, we're going to do one more. We'll just look at one more division because you have a team that's up in here, and I think the Raiders, the AFC West.
You have them up.
I have the Raiders up, yes. You have the Raiders down.
Not down.
No, based on the preseason, I think the hype got a little out of control for the Raiders. I actually picked the Chargers to win this division.
You did?
Yeah, I like the Chargers to be a surprise.
Why?
Team. Phillip Rivers is awesome.
I love Phillip Rivers. He carries that team, but they have a lot of issues around that. I mean,
they have issues.
Line, if it stays healthy, it'll be better. It can't be any worse.
Can't be worse. That's what I'm saying. They lost a lot of one-score games. They got really unlucky. Keenan Allen is going to be back. You got Hunter Henry in there to kind of give Antonio Gates a little support. I think Travis
tight ends take a little while to get going.
Yeah, but you got Gates to help teach him in. I think Travis Benjamin is going to be a sneaky, awesome addition because he's a burner and he's playing with a real quarterback for the first time.
I like that one. I like that.
Melvin Gordon, I think, has a better year his second season, even though he's coming off that.
I agree.
Danny Woodhead's underrated. He's got grit.
Getting Casey Hayward will help the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers is better. Safeties are just so-so at best.
The Bosa holdout thing is the only reason I don't really love this team.
The Broncos.
You do? I mean, well, they're the defending Super Bowl champion. That's a bold play.
To win the division, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think their defense is going to carry that. It's going to be.
It's loaded. It's still loaded.
It's Seattle-esque again with the way they play on defense. And you know what? Young guys are going to be better. You know, when I was out there for camp, I was talking to Chris Harris about some of the players. One of the guys that he mentioned, and I went back and watched him, and he's correct. Stewart doesn't get enough credit for as good as he is at safety for them.
Mm.
And you know, the young guys, you're going to see, you know, like, you know.
Bradley Roby.
Yeah. I mean, Bradley Roby's a fantastic third corner.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be, to me, they're going to be.
What about, I'm not.
Shane Ray will be better.
Aqib Talib, how much of a trickle down effect is there if Aqib Talib is either suspended or misses time because of injury?
Well, there'll be a trickle down. You don't want him to miss time because he's a good player too. And then you have three corners. And then if he's out, then you get him out and you got to put Roby in as the starter. So yeah, it'll impact him, but you know, it's a short run. And you know, people keep pointing to that offense. Look, as much as people know that I love the way Peyton Manning played the game, he wasn't Peyton Manning. Now he's still cerebral enough to get to the right play like he proved.
He led the league in interceptions after he missed eight games. I mean, that offense was terrible last year. CJ Anderson should be better. Demaryius Thomas is underrated.
Booker's going to be a good player for them, the runner. I like the makeup of their defense to keep them in games, and the kid just doesn't have to mess it up. I still think Lynch will be the starter at some point.
All right, over under 8.5 starts for Paxton Lynch.
I think he's going to get about 7 or 8, so it's hard to say.
I think he ends up getting like 10. I think Simeon's a decent player, but Paxton Lynch looks the part.
When I went to the Broncos camp, I walked in there and I'm like, this Simeon stuff. And Elway looked at me and said, no, it's real. I said, come on, John. He goes, no, it's real. And then Kubiak said same thing. And from that point on, I went and watched practices. And the one thing you noticed about him, his arm was 10 times stronger than Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
And he understood the offense and he can move a little bit on the run. He throws well on the run. He's accurate.
And he's less likely to poop his pants and commit a horrible turnover.
Right. So.
Sanchez is gone too with that.
You know, everybody knows the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a year away. I do. And if the Raiders, like Jacksonville, I think it's truly a year away, but I don't think their division's very good. I think the Raiders division with Kansas City being a pretty good team and Denver being a good team and you like San Diego, that's why I think the Raiders are a year away.
No, I'm with you. I think I have the Raiders going to the playoffs. I couldn't stop myself, but the hype is too much surrounding Jacksonville and Oakland. We haven't seen enough from them. And Derek Carr wasn't great down the stretch last year. Amari Cooper is awesome, but he can make mistakes. Khalil Mack is the top 5 defensive player in the league, period. Maybe top 3. But I think that offense could struggle a little out of the gates, even with that good offensive line. I think people are assuming that Carr is going to make this huge leap, and maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Carr's good, and I like their offensive line. They have some weapons. The running game's a question. I mean,
Latavius Murray is not that great.
Right. I mean, that's an issue for them. And you know, they like the Washington kid that they got, the rookie. He's looked pretty good in the preseason. I like him too, but I just think they're a year away. I just think they're 1 year away. Next year, they're going to be really, really good.
Well, and Reggie McKenzie's doing a great job building up that team. Their schedule, by the way, is not, at Saints, Falcons, at Titans, at Ravens. I mean, 3 of the first 4 games are on the road. That's not easy for a young team, especially when they're like traveling from Oakland. You know, you got to go to New Orleans, then you come back, you get the Falcons at home, then you go at Titans, at Ravens, then you got two. Jeez Louise, look, and so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of their first 8 games are going to be like noon CT or 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoffs. That's a lot of games for a young team, even though the matchups are okay.
That all factors in too. That's why I don't think they're as trendy a pick in my eyes as most people think.
Like, you got to go play the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and then you got to play the Buccaneers the next week. I assume they'll stay in Florida, but I mean that's not easy. And then you got the Broncos. They could get off to a rocky start if they're not winning these road games. And winning road games in the NFL, period, is hard. Period. I mean, it's just hard to do.
Oh, it's really hard to do. I don't think there's any question about that. It's tough to win road games. And when you're young and you got to go on the road and go east, it's even tougher. I think it's a big challenge for Jack. Now, one time didn't you see that they're going to stay on the East Coast when they play? Don't they play Tampa and Jacksonville and back to back?
Yeah. So it's like, so they'll stay on the East Coast. So what are you going to do, like, hang out in Tampa for a week? Maybe they'll come to your house and hang out.
No, they're going to the IMG Academy.
That's right. And you and Jack Del Rio can go do some, like, shopping at Publix in Jacksonville.
I bumped into Jack at the airport a couple weeks ago. A couple months ago. He's down to see his kid practice at Florida because his kid's a starting quarterback. Luke Del Rio's a starting quarterback at Florida this year.
For the Gators?
Yeah.
Oh, for real? I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's bounced around. He went to, went to 8,000 different schools, and now he wound up in Gainesville, and he's starting quarterbacks. And so they're going to come here. How do they play it? Is it Jacksonville, then Tampa?
It's at Jacksonville on October 23rd, and then at Tampa on October 30th. So they'll go to Jacksonville.
His son plays a game. He'll get to see his son play, Florida-Georgia game.
Oh, wow. World's Largest Cocktail Party, 3:30, probably on CBS. That's a pretty good weekend for old Jack. All right. Speaking of weekends, we've got to go take our weekend. It's holiday weekend, Pete. Last weekend before
holiday
football.
Holiday weekend. We don't have holiday weekends. The only holiday weekends we get are Memorial Day and 4th of July. What are you talking about?
You don't get Labor Day? I get Labor Day. I got to work Labor Day, actually.
Yeah, of course you do.
But there's no pro football on Labor Day.
No, but you got stuff you got to do. There's no
holiday. I got to mow the yard. I got to mow my brown yard. All right. So, for Pete Prisco, I'm Will Brinson. This is the Roughing the Passer podcast. We will be back next week. Thank you to Blue Apron for the sponsorship. Pete, I will talk to you next week.
See you, Will.